The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Voice of the people. News Talk 710 KNUS Denver. One of us is wrong here. The other is Peter Boyles on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Wish it were true. Friday morning, the 20th of November 2020. So it's 2020. 710 KNUS on a Friday morning. No more alarm clocks for a couple of days. 51 the high today, 49 on Saturday, 48 on Sunday. We will continue in our open lines, but I want to get Rob Nadelson in here. Hey, Rob, good morning, man. Thanks for doing the show. Welcome back to 710 KNUS.
Good morning. A privilege as always.
I love this guy. I truly do. Now, Billy told me you missed the press conference. You didn't see the Giuliani-Sidney Powell press conference yesterday.
Well, I didn't see it, but I do see the coverage of it. I mean, Google isn't even being subtle anymore. They've got, I just Googled Giuliani press conference, okay? And they give me YouTube, CNN, YouTube, CNN, Washington Post, Vanity Fair, and the list goes on. And every single headline on this page, and there are about 15 of them, is negative. Every single one.
Every one of them.
In fact, the last few days, Peter, I've played a game with Google, okay? I go to Google News every morning, and every morning they might give me an entry from Fox, but overwhelmingly it's liberal news sites. So I always get The Guardian, for example, but I don't get its counterpart, the Telegraph. I get the New York Daily News, but I don't get the Washington Post. And so what I've started to do is in the search line, I've started to enter Washington Times or Telegraph Co. UK.
Yes.
At least other conservative sites, and they'll sometimes come up with contents with those sites, sometimes not. But although Google is supposed to be responsive to listener preference or viewer preference, when I go on the next day, I still don't come up with any conservative sites.
I respect this man. He's immensely brilliant. I watched it twice, and I have no – I mean, I have a lot of ideas of what can come and what will happen, but what they laid out was this conspiracy. I always go back to Joe McCarthy, his conspiracy so vast. A conspiracy of Hugo Chavez, the People's Republic of China, Venezuela, Cuba, the Clinton Foundation, George Soros. I mean, this is from – I watched it twice. Testimony from, quote, on the internet, ballots that arrived in trucks, Jersey voters who crossed into Philly, judges and vote counting in Germany and in Spain. I mean, that was what was laid out yesterday by three people, Jenna Ellis and Rudolph Giuliani and Sidney Powell.
Yo.
Wow.
It isn't surprising. Now, I have a rule which I always apply to myself because I'm a lawyer and legal analyst. People always want me to opine on pending litigation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I generally won't do that. And the media are making a mistake by issuing their views too soon. I mean, there's nothing to be seen here. Let's move past it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to make the similar mistake and say that he is absolutely right. But I have seen some of his affidavits.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see any irregularities there. I see people who have every reason to know what they say they know. And it's signed under oath. And so I'm not in a position, I don't think anybody should be in the position of simply dismissing this.
No, I'm not dismissing it. I'm saying.
No, I know you're not.
Yeah, don't
I
we,
know you're not.
Don't we have
I'm
to.
I'm talking about mainstream media here.
But, Rob, don't we have to. How did they get this into court? I mean, they're on the clock right now. We have the 13th is coming, or the 13th and 14th, I forget, on the Electoral College. And I've read all the big deal, and I should not read lawsuits or legal filings because I'm not smart enough. But to the court, to the case, What they're asking for is for not the individual states to certify the results, especially the so-called battlegrounds or in question states. And they want to stop, not stop the count, but stop certifying so that can go to the Electoral College so Joe Biden can get the blessing. What do we do? And by the way, this has to be done. Constitution is calling for a time frame. What has to happen? It's the 14th.
Well,
it's the 14th of December.
The day the electors meet is December 14th.
Right.
And of course, as many of your listeners know, they don't meet all in one place. They meet in their respective state capitals.
Right.
I argued in the Epic Times in my latest column that the state legislatures need to step forward. And thus far, they're mostly in hiding.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way these lawsuits are going to be resolved by the time the electors
there
meet.
It is.
I mean, and moreover, a lot of judges are timid and or perhaps I should say cautious.
Mm-hmm.
And no one judge wants to be the guy or the gal who overturned the election. So the Constitution's answer to this is clear.
Mm.
And it's not just the Constitution's answer. It's enshrined in federal law. If you don't get a clear result on November 3rd, the state legislatures have to decide how the electors are appointed. They can call a snap election, or they can appoint the electors themselves. But the one thing they shouldn't be doing is making preemptive statements to the press to the effect, we're not going to get involved, or go into hiding.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've seen thus far.
What do you think? I love this man. Rob Nadelson is probably the smartest guy comes on this show. Is it conceivable, and I was thinking about this last night, that Donald Trump can claim and he's already said it's been stolen. They're saying it's been stolen. Other callers are just jumping at the bit that it's stolen. He does a mic drop and becomes a government in exile. That I kept using the Romanovs or the Lubin Poles or the Free French, that he literally walks away and says, this thing was stolen from me. I relinquish, however. Is that conceivable?
That sounds awfully third world.
Okay. Welcome.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when people say to me, gee, the progressive left wants to make the United States just like Europe,
mm-hmm.
My response is, no, that's not right. They want to make the United States like the third world.
I agree.
Where you've got regularly corrupt elections,
yep.
Government is bought and sold.
Yep.
There are no boundaries to the power of government. And that's what this looks like.
Hmm.
I hope the heck that we've got a clear enough answer by December 11 so that he doesn't have to do something like that.
I can't tell you guys how much respect I have for this man, Rob Nadelson.
Well, the feeling is mutual.
No, you're my guy, man. But when Sidney...
No, it is... The respect is mutual.
Well, wait till you come in and read some email.
You're the most educated talk show host I know.
Well, which among the blind, the one-eyed man is king. when they said...
It's true of lawyers, too.
When one of the claims that was made, and I can't find it, that voter counts took place in Germany and Spain. And I'm looking all over the internet and I can't find it. Now, that doesn't mean anything, but what a claim. I mean, what a claim that the Cubans are involved and the Chinese are involved and Hugo Chavez and the Clintons and Soros. And man, it's like a McCarthy thing. And if it's true, it's civil war.
Well, I don't see how Chavez could be involved since I think... He's been dead 7 years. But
well,
maybe
I thought so,
Maduro,
too.
Successor.
Well, no, they said they mentioned Hugo Chavez.
Well, I think that the Dominion software, there are claims that the Dominion software was designed to be used by governments such as Chavez to fix elections.
How he wins.
Yeah. I have no way of assessing claims like that.
Cuba?
I do rate a rather high level of probability that if there was foul play that the communist Chinese were involved in it. I mean, why wouldn't they be?
Well, the Chinese hate Donald Trump. The PRC hates Donald Trump. Yeah.
And you could understand why.
Huh.
Furthermore, the Biden family has dealings with the Chinese.
China Joe. One of his nicknames is China Joe. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know about Venezuela, but it wouldn't surprise me if there were some Chinese manipulation.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, we know under the Obama administration they meddled with an Israeli election. We know that. I mean, I don't think anything's, you know, he said, she said. I don't think anything's new about that. Our guest, the one and only Rob Nadelson. What happens? I mean, we're as they say, we're like in the fourth quarter. And you got 2 minutes to go. There has to be some Hail Marys here.
Right. And there has to be some good umpiring. And that's why the state legislatures of the affected states have to get busy. They need to hold hearings. And if there is no clarity as to who won by December 14th, they've got to appoint the electors themselves. And that's not at all unusual in American history. Electors have been chosen by the state legislatures all through the first half of the 19th century. And then here in Colorado, when Colorado became a state in 1876, there wasn't enough time to hold an election for presidential electors in the state. So the state legislature did what the state legislatures may have to do now, that is, pick the electors themselves. By the way, one of the arguments that's been made, I think, about the Trump legal team is that what they're trying to do is prevent certain results from being certified.
Right.
So the election goes into the House of Representatives. That would be a mistake, because if the five states that are Republican are not certified, and assuming Nevada sends Democratic electors because they've got a Democratic legislature, Biden would still have a majority of those electors chosen and therefore would not be in the House of Representatives. So it's not good enough for Republicans to merely prevent electors from being certified in states like Michigan and Pennsylvania. They've got to get Republican electors in those states.
Can this be overturned? I mean, I know the we're made a running gag. The mainstream press always called him President-elect Gore up until that final moment. And they did have 37 days, and they're trying to chomp Trump down quick. But this is not hanging Chad. This is way different than hanging Chad.
Right. It's far more extensive, for one thing. And by the way, it gives us a peek at what many elections would be like if we went to national popular vote.
Absolutely.
Because we'd be having recounts not just in those six states. We'd be having recounts in every precinct in America.
The country, that's right.
I mean, what a nightmare that would be. We're lucky that it's limited to those states. But of course, neither you nor – well, maybe you have a crystal ball.
No.
Mine mine broke on the way to work today.
And it's like you say, you know, about predicting. And Rob Nadelson's here. Really, you guys legitimately is a brilliant scholar. We're talking about the press conference yesterday. And big deal, I watched it twice because I was trying to make notes. First time, I mean, I really lit up. I thought, man, what a show this is. And they were taking on the press, and it was, I mean, it was really amazing. I love watching it. But it gets into this conspiracy. I mean, and I love conspiracy theory. You and I have talked about the Bilderberg and Hickenlooper, and, you know, and we've talked about, yesterday, Trilateral Commission came up, and, you know, there's the Illuminati and all. And matter of fact, there were people that believed that the United States with Washington and those guys were the Masonic conspiracy. But, I mean, it was pretty widespread. And saying things that ballots arrived in trucks, they stopped counting. Man, you got to be – if you can walk into court and show that, or the people from Jersey came into Philly and voted. But I love the
Peter, did you see – I don't know if it was at the press conference or not, but did you see the allegation that was supported by at least one affidavit to the effect that, I think it was in Georgia, ballots were trucked in with only one candidate voted for, that is to say, Biden, and that the round spots that you fill in to vote for Biden were filled in absolutely perfectly without any moving across the lines, without any white space within the lines, like a machine did it.
And I read all that stuff. But yesterday, And this morning, the Georgia Secretary of State, the recount comes in, and Joe Biden keeps his lead in Georgia. It's interesting. They found more votes for Donald Trump. You should see this desk. It looks like I'm a the initial results, Biden was ahead of Donald Trump by 14,000 votes. The recount said that Biden's not ahead by now 12,284. And they went and hand counted it all again. Voting Works is my source. Secretary of State, who's a Republican. So as soon as that drops, Giuliani says the recount means nothing. And because it's flawed.
Well, that's because
it's flawed, right.
They didn't verify signatures. Right. They simply recounted ballots, some of which were arguably bad.
And that's that's Lynn Wood's lawsuit that was supposed to be filed yesterday, but will apparently be filed today. And what Lynn Wood is saying about Georgia, I've got to turn to my notes, but he's making the claim in Georgia that the signatures on the outside of the envelopes, absentee ballots did not match the ballots themselves. And okay, then we have to go back and deep dive that. Do they, Rob, have the time? And, you know, remember the thing about throwing something up against the wall and seeing what sticks?
Well, you know, they do have times to get preliminary injunctions. I mean, if they present to the court on affidavits a fairly convincing case,
right,
even though it's not a full hearing, that's generally enough to get a preliminary injunction. I mean, if they have to demonstrate in a circumstance like this that they will likely prevail on the merits and that that irreparable harm would occur if the election was certified. Well, irreparable harm certainly would occur if the election is certified, the electors are appointed, and they go ahead and they vote for Biden. So that prong of the requirement for a preliminary injunction is satisfied. The other prong is whether they're likely to prevail on the merits. When you walk in there with 500 affidavits testifying to irregularities, it's going to be really hard for a judge to deny a preliminary injunction. Now, he may ultimately, after a full hearing, deny a permanent injunction, but I think what the Trump team wants is not so much a permanent injunction. Mm-hmm. They want a preliminary injunction. They want to stop the certification.
Yeah, they want everything to stop now. Wait, here's the Georgia case. I found my notes. Lynn Wood, who used to threaten to sue me, so in the Ramses. Lynn Wood has sued in an attempt, I'll just read it to you. Has sued in an attempt to block the certification, as we've talked about, of election results in Georgia. Lynn Wood alleges Georgia illegally changed the process for handling absentee ballots. Here it is. Wood's lawsuit takes aim at legal settlements signed earlier this year that addresses accusations about a lack of statewide standards for judging signatures on absentee ballot envelopes. There it is. The deputy secretary of state, who is a Republican, has pronounced Lynn Wood on a silly, baseless claim. Now, Giuliani says this means nothing. You know, the recount. And so you get stuck. And you're trying to do like this truth doesn't have a side. You and I have talked about this in logic before. There's this side, that side, and there's the truth. Can I put you on hold and keep you through another break? I really want you to stay. Can you stay, Rob?
Sure.
And hang on. Rob Nadelson is with us, 710 KNUS. That's the Georgia case. Cowboy Moving and Storage, the recommended mover of Cowboy Moving. And you want to hide out some Christmas presents. That's always one of those cool things. Cowboy can do that for you. They can hide stuff for you till, you know, Christmas Eve, and you get it done. If you are moving or if you're doing a remodel and you got to get all the stuff out of the house, and they can come and get it and hide it for you, store it for you, and bring it back when the job's over. Moving grandma, moving the office, residential commercial moves. I know it's like coming up on the holiday season, but got a big commercial office move. State-of-the-art equipment accessories ensure your move goes perfect, makes Cowboy the recommended mover, the men that actually do the work. These guys have been with Cowboy forever. They work hard from moves to loads to storage to holds. Cowboy's been Colorado's recommended mover since 68. They donate a portion of every move to Freedom Service Dogs, and that's great. 303-789-2200, 303-789-2200. Let them give you an estimate. They'll come to the house, and you say, well, this is what we want done, and they'll tell you what it's going to be. They're good people. Cowboy Moving, 303-789-2200 today.
We now return to the Peter Boyles Show.
Morning, everybody. 25 after the hour, 7:25. Randy Corcoran tomorrow morning with George Brockler and Steffens this afternoon. 51 will be the high and 49 tomorrow. Legitimately, probably the brightest guy that comes on this radio show. I just think he hung the moon. Rob Nadelson is with us, and we're talking about sort of an overview of all of this. You know, when we were talking off air, and you made, the light went on for me. The Republican Party, the establishment of the Republican Party, tolerated Donald Trump. Take it from there, because Rob, I thought it was brilliant, if you would.
Well, it had to do with the issue of whether he could form a government in exile, so to speak. And so what I said was that the establishment Republicans accepted Trump only because he was the president. And he had demonstrated the ability to win an election. Once he's out,
yeah,
I don't think he's going to be in a position to form a unified government in exile. If he does, he's going to have a certain following. But if Republicans really want to, let's say, do what the British Parliament does, and that where the minority party forms a shadow government, it's probably not going to be headed by by Donald Trump. By the way, Peter, before time runs out, I wanted to mention what I find one of the most curious aspects of the media handling of all of this, and that is the demonization of Rudy Giuliani.
Absolutely.
As if he's some kind of a crackpot.
Yeah.
I mean, remember, this guy was an American hero. This is America's mayor. This is the guy who led our largest city at the time
Broke the mob.
Right. This is the guy who was a prosecutor, broke the mob. Brilliant prosecutor. In fact, some argue even too zealous.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very dear friend, I've had him for 50 years, who was a member of Rudy Giuliani's cabinet, who's still in contact with him, and has the highest opinion in the world of him. This is a solid guy, okay? And if he says there's a conspiracy, that doesn't mean you have to take his word for it, but if he says that's a conspiracy, you don't go dismissing it. You take that very, very serious.
I watched it. I mean, I hope today you get a chance. He was intense. I mean, I said, I was with Stefan and Randy yesterday afternoon on Stefan's show. I said, I mean, I sat up. You know, I'm usually, you know, crouching. I got the computer on my lap, and I sat up. But it's almost like, you know, we're going to talk about the Kennedy murder, the Kennedy hit coming up here in a couple of days. When you start tying things in on, you know, who Jack Ruby was and who Lee Harvey Oswald and, you know, Carlos Marcello and all the kinds of things that happened in Dallas. My lead who taught me how to read is taught me about reading history is a guy named Brooks Van Everen, and Dr. Van Everen's gone. Van Everen always had that great line. He said, 900 people, whatever the number was, in Dealey Plaza witnessed a murder and nobody agrees on what happened. I thought it was a wonderful line. So, but, you know, could you have said the things that they said yesterday? And I agree with you. I mean, they tied in, it was Tinkers to Evers to Chance, Venezuela, Cuba, the Clintons, Soros, trucks with ballots, counting outside the country. That is such an enormous conspiracy, Rob.
Yeah, I'm going to reserve judgment. You know, Peter, there are two opposite mistakes made by people with regard to conspiracies.
Yeah.
One mistake is to claim everything is run by conspiracies.
Indeed.
There are conspiracies everywhere. The other mistake is to say there's no such thing as a conspiracy.
That's why we got a RICO. That's why we RICO.
Yeah, exactly. The Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organizations
That's
Act.
Right. We have a RICO.
By the way, what do you think about RICOing some of these clowns?
I brought up RICO yesterday, 2 days ago. I said, this is a RICO. Because I met Robert DeBlakely from Notre Dame, who invented RICO. And Giuliani uses RICO to bust the mob. And one of the raps was about calling it that, was it was an Italian, Sicilian-sounding name that they
used.
No, I'm not making this up. And they judged it. They judged that to be a racist name for the ability to use RICO. And DeBlakely goes, I mean, I talked to him, he's a brilliant guy. He goes to New York and teaches. He teaches Giuliani how to use RICO. But here's a question for you. Where's the FBI? Where's the Justice Department on this stuff? Where's Barr? I mean, if this is so laid out by, as you point out, by this. Where's the federal government in defending and helping to look for the truth? Or is it they, as it's been suggested, they hate Donald Trump and they want him gone?
Well, I think you know the answer to that. I mean, a lot of people, they don't necessarily have to hate Donald Trump, although some of them do. Most people in positions like that don't like to stick their neck out too far. I mean, if the FBI started investigating this, you could imagine what the press would do to the FBI.
Well, screw the FBI. But I don't like I don't trust the FBI or the CIA or any of them. Never have.
Yeah. What do you think about my idea of recoing some of these people who were tearing down our cities a few months ago?
I love it.
You clearly have conspiracies. I mean, you've got bricks left in strategic locations. Yeah. There's professional leadership. Yeah. I think that, that those folks ought to be recoed.
Well, you know, when the government drops a RICO, and I have friends that I respect so much, and when they drop a RICO on you, you're done. I mean, if you read all those cases, for instance, I'm a geek about what Giuliani did to the mob. They worked so hard. And that was the Godfather case. They had all the Godfathers. They had every one of them. Mm-hmm. And I think with one exception, they got every one of them. And Giuliani broke the mob. And I was talking to somebody about it last night. Don't discount Giuliani. And,
right. That's a mistake a lot of people are making. Yeah.
And they want to
I was just going to say for listeners who maybe have lost the thread of what we're talking about, RICO is the Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act. It's a federal law, and it essentially was designed for a way of getting at criminal conspiracies. Mm-hmm. It punishes people who engage in conspiracy to do illegal acts. Yeah. And all the conspiracy means is a partnership or a joint venture. Mm-hmm. Except that the aim, the goal of the partnership or joint venture is illegality. Mm. So if Peter and I form a partnership to earn money in radio, that's perfectly okay.
Maybe.
But if Peter and I form a partner,
maybe
better watch out. But better watch out, Peter. But if the two of us form a partnership for the purpose of knocking somebody off. That's a conspiracy. That's all a conspiracy is a partnership to do something illegal.
The first time I really read was the late Alan Berg and the Bruderschweig and the Silent Brothers who murdered Alan. They RICO'd them. And Alan's murder was, I think, only the 41st of the RICO counts. And they had them on 100-plus RICO counts. And it was the first time I really knew about RICO. And because, I ended up testifying in those trials, that I got to hang around the prosecutors and especially the Seattle case that was the RICO case. And Alan's murder, our city focused on it because, of course, they murdered this remarkable talk show host. But it was the Ukiah bank job and, counterfeiting and, all this insanity they were doing. So it became a RICO. And they RICO'd them. That's what they go down the first time on a RICO. They go down on separate things, but the big time they took their pop was a RICO. And I like what you're saying. I mean, I said that they, if this is true and there is this conspiracy and if you can get them in this country, you RICO them. And I just finished this really lengthy, the cocaine kings and the cartels and what was their greatest fear? Getting brought into the United States and standing trial, and they were RICOing them in the United States, but they had to get them here. And Pablo Escobar's greatest fear was to be brought to the United States, and because he knew what would happen if he got here. It's fascinating stuff.
Okay, Peter, you've been around longer than I have, so I'm gonna ask you where you see this election coming out.
You know, up until yesterday's press conference, I thought it was all in the air. Now I go back to that line that everybody gets mad that I use when the guy said, I'm from Missouri, you got to show me. If there are ballots arriving in trucks, if there was counts taking place in Germany and Spain, if the Venezuelans are in on it, if they were hooking ballots on the internet, you show me that, and I'm in the fight. right now. I think he's totally entitled to take this all away, like Al Gore did, take it all away to the end. But I mean, I flip it on you. I mean, by the way, you guys, this guy's name is Rob Nadelson. He is brilliant. How do you see it coming out?
I think the chances are pretty overwhelming that Joe Biden's the next president. And I say that for several reasons as of right now. No matter how much evidence Trump has, I find judges are very circumspect. Even when it goes to the Supreme Court, they're going to remember what happened with Bush versus Gore. They may make some rulings. They may rule a particular state in favor of Trump, but it may not be enough to change the election. And as of right now, I don't see the ultimate arbiters of coming in. Ultimate arbiters coming out of their hiding places. And those aren't the courts. Those are the state legislatures. The state legislatures in those six states can make the decision. They can right now say, let's call it a snap election, or let's choose the electors ourselves. And what I see instead are people in the legislative leadership of Pennsylvania and elsewhere saying, oh, you know, we're not going to get involved. We wouldn't want to offend anybody.
Yeah. I mean, I say this all the time. There's no question in my mind that Richard Nixon got robbed. I mean, the evidence is overwhelming.
You're very. That's clearly correct.
Yeah, they robbed
him. I mean, and for one thing, there was a deathbed confession by the guy who engineered the steal of Texas, right?
Absolutely.
And when we know about Mayor Daley holding back ballots in Chicago
and the mob.
Until he knew how many. Yeah, and so. Yeah. Yeah, that was a stolen election, and it's an interesting – nobody's ever done this, I don't think. But it would be an interesting counterfactual book to ask what would have happened if that had been an honest election. Richard Nixon would have won. Mm-hmm. I'll bet you one thing. For all of Nixon's faults, we probably would not be facing the federal bankruptcy we're facing today with the entitlement program.
And it's hard to know what Nixon would have done in Vietnam. Same thing. If Al Gore had won – would they have invaded Iraq? I mean, we can ask all of them. I mean, those are what-if histories, but there's no doubt in my mind. And then there's, you know, all the stories about Nixon is in a quandary. And they stole West Virginia for Jack Kennedy in the primaries. The mob stole it so he could defeat Hubert Humphrey. And Humphrey's a Protestant. He's a Catholic. And West Virginia is, you know, predominantly Protestant, anti-Catholic state. But they stole it. And they threw it, and after that, Humphrey's done. His opponent wasn't Lyndon Johnson. It was Hubert Humphrey. And then when they get to it, then they steal it. And as the story goes, Nixon had gone to a psychiatrist because he had really problems with Eisenhower, problems with himself. I mean, Nixon's Nixon. Bobby Kennedy, that little weasel Bobby Kennedy, had heard that Nixon had gone and threatened to out Nixon. I've read this several different places. That, you know, and that was what a taint it would be on you in 1960 to be outed as vice president of the United States, having seen, quote, a psychiatrist. We do know he spoke with a physician who had given him some pills so he could sleep. That kind of stuff was all real. Bobby Kennedy was going to burn him, and Richard Nixon backed away. But Nixon knew that the Kennedys had stolen. They knew that, you know, the mob knew. I think it's one of the reasons Jack was killed. The mob knew that they had done the job for him, but... You know, so and in Carnot's book, Lone Star Rising, about Lyndon Johnson, there was a reason they called him Landslide Lyndon, you know, because.
He won his first Democratic primary by about 81. I think it was 87 votes. Right. And it was stolen.
Dead Hispanics voting in alphabetical order, according to Stanley Carnot. I mean, isn't that great? I mean, of course he did.
So he was. So at that time, Texas is a firmly Democratic state. He wins the Democratic primary. Yeah. That's tantamount to winning the general election. Yeah. He goes forth to a long career in the Senate, which ends up with him being chosen vice president and president.
Yeah,
by the way, anyone who thinks media bias is just a product of the Trump era needs to go back and compare how the media portrayed Jack Kennedy with how they portrayed Barry Goldwater.
And there's a place called Duval County, Texas, and there was a guy named George Parr. I don't know why I remember this, but I do. And that's in Lone Star. And they called him the Duke of Duval County. And he brought Duval in for Lyndon Johnson. And there was no way in God's green earth Lyndon Johnson won Duval. But George Parr brought it in, and George Parr's career... You know, all the contracts and take care of yous that Lyndon Johnson did. Johnson is an incredibly corrupt man. But then you ask yourself, who isn't or who wasn't? I come back with Ike, you know, who I don't think was a corrupt guy. Harry Truman's entire career with the Pendergast, they were all corrupt. That's what I love about having you on the radio show, because we look at this stuff and we go, you know, there's no win here.
All right, so, I don't think Calvin Coolidge or Herbert Hoover were corrupt.
I think Herbert Hoover's just a lost cause. Calvin Coolidge is one of my favorite people. I love Calvin Coolidge.
Yeah. Herbert Hoover, and not too many people know this, since you and I are throwing around trivia, he was a progressive.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
The historians paint him as some antediluvian conservative whose knuckles scraped along the ground in front of him. In fact, he was a progressive Republican, and the interventionalist federal government that began during the New Deal began in his administration, not in the Roosevelt administration.
Here's my historical gem of the week from my reading. Vladimir Putin, his grandfather was Lenin's cook. How about that one? Vladimir Putin's grandfather was the cook for Lenin. Can we get any better than that? We just can't we?
That's great. That's great.
I love you. Rob, thanks, man. We'll talk. I hope, if I don't see you, happy Thanksgiving, but I'm sure we'll have you on. The way things are, we'll get you back. Thank you for your time very much.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. All right. We return right after this, 710 KNUS.
We now return to the Peter Boyles Show.
It is a Friday morning. Remember, next Wednesday, the imaginary Thanksgiving Day parade with celebrity floats. 51, sun looks beautiful out there this morning. 49 tomorrow. The one, the only, Brian Gray from Alpine Planning. My boy, good morning, man. What we got?
Good morning. Looking forward to that parade. That's always one of the highlights of the year. So.
Or lowlights.
No, it's always a good time. We have fun with that. You do a really good job. You know, stocks are down a little bit this morning because of the virus. Not too bad. We got the Dow down 45 points. NASDAQ's down 9. S&P's down 3. Well, here's an interesting fact. Here's throwing some salt on an open wound. Come December 31st, $455 billion in unused funds for programs will expire. Small businesses were supposed to receive this money for economic help during the pandemic. Now Congress can use that money for other purposes. Pete, it's also time to clean out our house and get our house in order. Let's make sure our 401ks and IRAs are funded to the max. Let's make sure we get rid of the bad holdings, add in some of the good holdings. It's one of those projects that need to be done once a year. And as we navigate these crazy times right now, you're going to need a partner, and Alpine Planning Group would love to be your partner.
Forget all of it. Let's go ski. 303-843-0918. Vail's opening today, but they got all the COVID stuff on it. Winter Park pushed back to after December the 1st. You know, we're talking about the family plan for Thanksgiving, and I usually bail, you know, right after dinner and go hide out and ski for a couple of days. I hate shopping. I have the day off. What am I going to do? 303-843. It's all about me. 303-843-0918. 303-843-0918 for Alpine Planning. Brian Gray's the best guy. I love you, Bubba. Thanks, man. We'll be together next week.
Have a good weekend, Pete.
Thanks, man.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
All right, vis-a-vis yesterday's appearances, Tucker Carlson. I'll just read this to you. Tucker Carlson, of all people, calls out Sidney Powell, saying he asked her for evidence to support her election fraud claims, but she never sent us any evidence despite a lot of requests. Polite request, not a page. When we kept pressing, she got angry and told us to stop contacting her. That's Tucker Carlson. I start here in line one. Norma, you're on the radio show. Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning, Peter. I'm not sure if it's a question, maybe something you can add to it. on the night of the election, we were watching Fox News, and they had a panel, and in the panel, and part of the panel was Donna Brazile.
Mm-hmm.
And we know where Donna Brazile stands. We know she's a player, or she's very active in the Democrat Party. But at that time, Donald Trump was winning, and it came to her, and the comment she made was, "Well, I wouldn't count Joe out at this time," she says. Mm-hmm. And I'm not probably saying it verbatim, but that's what she said, something to that effect. But she said, "We do know that he's winning," and she named the Midwestern states that she believed, and I believe she either knew or... And
I mean,
she's
a lightweight. I don't know why everybody put her in a conspiracy. But remember, on the beginning of when Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton, Hillary Clinton came out of the box. She was leading. And then systematically, incrementally, Donald Trump came from behind and beat her.
Right. But my question has always been, how was she so sure that they would win these states? Excuse me.
I mean, do you really think
they were
that?
Blue?
Yeah, but you think somebody is ineffectual. I mean, look, when you get into conspiracy stuff, we were talking about RICO with Rob. Mm-hmm. This is what makes this so crazy. All of these people are in on this. All of these people. I mean, Joe Altman said he thought probably thousands. Even if it's 1,000, that's a hell of a lot of people to be in on a conspiracy. I mean,
well,
a lot of people.
I do believe that, and I do believe she thought she knew that he actually was going to win big in those states. And so that's been my question all along.
Well, fair enough, but it doesn't make the case. I mean, in other words...
Oh, no, I realize that, but I just go back to this because I have not ever heard anyone else
mention her. But Donna Brazile is an intellectual lightweight. If I was going to pull a heist... If I was going to do the Lufthansa job in Goodfellas, I would not have Donna Brazile drive the truck. I mean, you got to pick. I love your call. Thank you. We go to Paulie. We're coming up on time. We're going to see what we do on the other side. Paulie, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, man.
Well, I think number one, I think if the Democrats had any inkling that Trump would win in 2016, we'd be dealing with this back then. No, but I have to agree with you. It's like I inherited a very nice necklace, and one of our family members
stole
it. Can I
do this? I got the music. Billy, we're going to come out of the box with the doc. We want to try and do that? All right, I'm going to put you on hold and be first out of the box on the other side. We're going to move the one guest. What next? I mean, a conspiracy so vast. And the Tucker Carlson stuff isn't good right now, but China, Hugo Chavez, Cuba, Clinton, Soros, ballots arriving in trucks, New Jersey voters who crossed the Camden into Philly and voted, counters in Germany and Spain, a conspiracy so vast, said Joe McCarthy. These are the people who plan for world management. It's a Friday. You hang on.
Three ways to reach the show. Call us at 303-696-1971. Text us on the free-to-download 710 KNUS app. Or send us an email. Just go to the Peter Boyles page at 710KNUS.com and click on Email the Show.